Okay, we'll go ahead and start. Good morning. My name is Robin Soler. I am with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Center for Chronic Disease in the Division of Community Health Proposed, and I am the evaluation team lead for the Communities Putting Prevention to Work program. And what we have today for you are four communities coming together to talk about the built environment, some of the work that they've done through that program. Communities Putting Prevention to Work is what we call the down payment for health reform. It was initiated about 18 months ago in 50 communities across the United States with an investment of over $500 million. This program is touching about 55 million Americans, or one in six Americans, and it is designed to prevent chronic disease primarily through reducing the prevalence of obesity, tobacco use, and exposure to secondhand tobacco smoke. This program is actually being followed right now by community transformation grants, which were kicked off last week in 61 communities across the United States. That is a five-year program, whereas Communities Putting Prevention to Work is a two-year program. You're going to hear from four groups today that are presenting on the built environment portion of their program, but for the most part, these people are members of very large teams that are working on anywhere from 10 to 15, maybe 20 very specific objectives designed to change the health of their communities. They're either working in the obesity arena or the tobacco arena. Some communities like Los Angeles were actually funded to work both in tobacco and obesity. These communities had Los Angeles, for example, and New York had as many as $30 million to spend in a two-year period to push public health in their communities. A lot of money. Yeah, and this is absolutely critical to think about how we push the envelope for health. And when they're working in these communities, they have very specific direction to do things that were jurisdiction-wide, high impact, and had a health equity focus. And this is very similar for the community transformation grants, but the community transformation grants are not working in silos. So in those programs, they have less money, but they actually have to do more work addressing not only physical activity, nutrition, tobacco, but also clinical preventive services and other health outcomes related to cardiovascular disease and some other chronic diseases. So we're really excited about this program. We're really excited about the work that can be done through it. I encourage you to come to a session at 10:30 over in the conference center. Dr. Koh is moderating a session with our chronic disease director, Ursula Bauer, and they're going to be talking a lot more about Communities Putting Prevention to Work, and they'll be talking about how sectors come together to change their communities, to really kind of move the needle forward. And I want to say, if I had a list of the number of accomplishments that we've had, if people say, we can't do this in just 2 years, we've had over 200 success stories in 2 years. We've had communities raise their cigarette tax. We've had communities go comprehensive smoke-free. We've had beaches and parks go smoke-free in New York and Los Angeles. We've had multi-unit housing complexes go smoke-free. We've had children's school meals change. And as you'll see here, we've had some built environment changes. So the presentations today are going to be very different. They're going to talk about the built environment through different voices, so you'll have different types of professionals coming up and talking. Some of the presentations are actually going to carry you through the entire process of what they've done, whereas others are going to talk about kind of the menu of things that they're actually doing right now. This is supposed to be one of our evaluation sessions, but what everybody tells me is, we can't evaluate the world in 6 months. We have 2 years to make a difference, and we expect BMI to change the first 3 weeks of those 2 years. And they can't do that, so you're not going to see a lot of kind of hardcore evaluation results. You're not going to see that BMI has changed as a result of the Complete Streets policy, but what you are going to see is some promises for the future, and we're really looking forward to seeing those pan out. So today I'm going to introduce you to our speakers all at once, and then they will come up and speak to you, and they can tell you a little bit more about themselves. And so the first speakers that we have are actually from LA County, and we're going to have Bill Roshan and Margot Rajas Ocañas. I thought you were Ocañas only. They're going to be speaking together about the work that they're doing. And Bill Roshan's career manifests a new paradigm of citizen architects. We have somebody really unique and original for CPPW as a civic leader who can engage communities in the sometimes difficult conversations required to advance infill and redevelopment projects that make neighborhoods sustainable, affordable, livable, and healthy. As president of the Los Angeles City Planning Commission, he has taken the lead on introducing citywide consideration a health element as a component of the Los Angeles General Plan framework by securing a motion from the City Planning Commission and initiating partnerships with the County Department of Health. Bill holds a master's degree in architecture from Columbia University. Margot brings extensive private sector experience to managing and mobilizing inside and outside strategies and resources to affect policy and systems changes within the complex arena of the City of Los Angeles. Within the span of the CPBW contract, short time period, Margo has forged new alliances for the city's Department of Public Health with the City Planning Commission and the Departments of City Planning, Transportation, and Public Works to help lead the passing of the Streets for People motion and shape a citywide Complete Streets initiative. A former Wall Streeter, management consultant, film producer, and Fulbright scholar, Margo holds dual degrees from Columbia University. Next, we're going to have Stephanie Frost from West Virginia. Dr. Frost is a research associate and instructor at the West Virginia University of Health Research Center. She received her PhD in public health sciences in May 2011 from West Virginia University. In 2009, Ms. Frost received a dissertation grant from Active Living Research and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to support her research examining childhood obesity in the context of food, physical activity, and social environments among West Virginia's youth. In her position as a research associate, she is currently working as a member of the CPBW, or Communities Putting Prevention to Work Evaluation Team, and is the lead investigator for the CPBW Enhanced Evaluation, which is a separate solicitation where they have about $900,000 to investigate the nutrition and physical activity environment. Following the West Virginia presentation, we're going to have a presentation from San Antonio, Texas, with Dr. Mary Thomas. Dr. Thomas serves as a senior management analyst for the evaluation of CPBW in the City of San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. She has worked as an epidemiologist in HIV incident surveillance programs in Metro Health, and she has been a public health consultant in Bangalore, India, and was a medical practitioner conducting outreach clinics in slums, orphanages, and villages. She has also worked as a public health consultant with many non-governmental organizations, the World Bank Project, and UNICEF. She conducts workshops, seminars, and trainings for community health workers and has taught medicine in nursing colleges. Prior to joining public health, she was a medical practitioner in major hospitals in the fields of obstetrics and gynecology, dermatology, and leprosy. Our last presenter will be Matt Cunningham. Matt is a built environment. Did I get that? I'm sorry. Okay, Matt is a built environment specialist for the Tri-County Health Department in Colorado and is currently working on a health impact assessment focused on active transportation in Glendale, Colorado. He earned his BA in Political Science and Environmental Studies from the University of Nebraska and a Master's in Urban and Regional Planning from the University of Colorado. While in graduate school, Matt focused on urban peacemaking and completed internships within the Downtown Denver Partnership and the Colorado Center for Community Development. So as you can see, we have a very diverse group of speakers today coming from very different angles to talk with us about the built environment. I'm actually a developmental psychologist, just to add to the mix. Gets very creative when you have so much money on the table and you really need to work very quickly. I hope that you ask them lots of questions about their work and about the CPBW initiative more broadly. If they can't answer them, I may be able to assist. So let's start with the UCLA, with the LA County Group, sorry. Thank you.
Good morning. You get two for the price of one with Los Angeles. So I'll speak quickly because we have a great panel, a set of panelists in front of us. So first of all, welcome, and we appreciate the honor to be the ones to start your day. As Robin called out, perhaps Bill and I are not the so usual suspects at the APHA podium, but planning, public health, and I would say a strong dose of personal passion actually unite us in our vision to affect physical change in the City of Los Angeles. The value and power of Streets for People, which we actually affectionately call S4P, is not only a program to install temporary complete streets destinations in our neighborhoods, but also a manifestation of some really unprecedented collaboration across the city, which I will let Bill speak to more articulately. And obviously the rationale for these fundamental interventions and a new framework is very clear. As you can see by the data within our school children in the public school system, the numbers are not inspiring, and obviously they're being mirrored nationally. In fact, a large portion of our LAUSD student population resides in the disadvantaged communities, particularly South LA, which is our most populated area of the city, and also happens to have the lowest open and green space ratio. We're speaking approximately 1.2 acres for every 1,000 persons. For this reason, the key CPPW, which we've actually branded Renew LA, has a series of built environment and deliverables. In particular, the green highlighted ones are the original CPPW deliverables. They include a major streetscape improvement plan in the northwest of the city, 4 complete streets prototypes, as well as healthy and land use plans for the 1/4 mile radius around 10 metro stations in South LA. So again, I just want to reiterate, as Robin did, that we have a massive amount of work in a very short amount of time to complete. And in essence, these are down payments through the plans that will result in changing the physical environment in these areas to encourage physical activity. Now, there's also I wanted to call out a very opportune crossing between myself and Bill Roshan early on in the Renew program. Both inspired by the work of Jeanette Sadi Khan in New York, her visit to Los Angeles, Bill and I and a coalition of our Renew project managers really shared a vision to bring some of these very similar street repurposing projects to the city of Los Angeles into our very car-centric cityscape. And likewise, in the spirit of wanting to, as called out in our mission statement, both policy systems and environmental change, we really were inspired to try to affect actual environmental change within the neighborhoods within a very short grant period. That's basically 18 months. So Renew LA has worked with the commission to apply technical assistance. So this is not within the bounds of our traditional deliverables, but we applied some technical assistance to shaping and implementing a complete streets demonstration program that we call Streets for People. Now, the specifics of the program. Streets for People is repurposing underutilized street space, of which there is quite a bit, surprisingly, in Los Angeles, using low-cost elements such as paint, planters, some tables and chairs to create a welcoming open space in these open space-deprived neighborhoods. Some of the criteria that we used in assessing a Streets for People site include proximity to pedestrian activity, ground-level commercial activity, and also, importantly, proximity to our bus routes and our transit stops. The other key the key goal of this is also to provide a means for monitoring and evaluating quickly complete streets examples, because this will really provide our city partners with an opportunity to do some evidence-based learning and will help inform as they're starting to create some more complete streets-oriented policies. But ultimately, Streets for People is the goal is to foster a rethinking in our somewhat traditional thinking departments of transportation that these major areas of public right-of-way do not necessarily have to be used for this, but perhaps for this. The distinguishing features of Streets for People are, in fact, that they are temporary and low cost. So as you can see by the colorful drawing, that is basically a painted resurface of a street, again using planters and planters and tables and chairs managed by our adjacent businesses. The goal is really to spend tens and thousands of dollars as opposed to millions of dollars. As many of you may be aware, the traditional park development process can average around 10 years and cost millions of dollars. As the data calls out in one of our initial slides, we don't have time to wait. Another key feature of the program is, in fact, its collaborative relationship. Specifically, our relationships with the Departments of Transportation, Planning, and Public Works. And Bill will give you some insight on really the size of the bureaucracy in which we're working. But they have been very key in this process. The other unique thing, perhaps not so unique to ULI, but these are very siloed operations. They're not in the method of working collaboratively. And yet, while siloed, they all have some level of accountability or ownership for the street. I have to say quite honestly that it was the getting the partners in the process to the table was greatly facilitated by Renew bringing money to the table and also showing that we wanted these monies applied to a physical, tangible result in a very short amount of time. And in these cash-strapped times, we were not necessarily turned away. Another element of the collaborative relationship is, in fact, those that reach beyond the jurisdiction of Los Angeles. And these partnerships were really key in garnering both political will and momentum in our home. We had a new director of city planning in June of last year, and this really provided an opportunity to inspire and motivate our new planning director. So Renew, in fact, funded and facilitated the travels of Michael LeGrand and our president of City Planning Commission to New York City to meet both national leaders and build some relationships with Jeanette Sadi Khan as well as the Projects for Public Spaces. This allowed him to get hands-on and really showcasing what they have done, and probably more importantly, some of the insight on really the nuts and bolts of what it takes to make this happen. And in the words of Bill Roshan, it was fantastically successful. So. The other key feature to this is replicability. So again, we're a very large city. I'll let Bill speak to some of that context, but it's very key to support replicability. So in essence, our goal is to build a low-cost, streamlined process model so that we can convert and develop really a citywide string of streets for people's sites. So in essence, ultimately, these small open green spaces will really link into what I would call a mini green belt. I'd like to call out, though, although it may seem minor and not particularly sexy, this above plan is actually quite paradigm shifting. This was produced by the Department of Transportation, and it really forced a series of many long-timer engineers to reconsider safety because they've traditionally thought about safety in the realm of cars only. And in fact, here they were really forced to think about how to plan safety for other modes of transportation, shoe leather express and biking. So, lastly, another feature, or I'd say second to last feature of the program is in fact its community initiation. So we really wanted to put the power of this program into the hands of the community. So we in fact, through this process, are building the templates which will be given back to the community, and they will be responsible for identifying the site, being responsible for the maintenance, the operations, and input on the design. And then lastly, a key feature is really expedient implementation. As again, Robin called out, we're working with an incredibly short amount of time. We've moved from a Streets for People motion in February to possible implementation of our first site by February of this year. So that's 12 months. And the scheme of things in a large LA context is rather unprecedented. So again, the big takeaways on the Streets for People was we're needing to move urgently. The data suggests that. We need to work and structure a model that is, again, tens and thousands of dollars as opposed to millions, and to be done within months rather than years. So with that context set, I will transition to Bill.
Margot, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. It's so nice to be here from Los Angeles. And the good news for you guys is that no one ever really wants to take Los Angeles seriously, so you can relax for the next few minutes. We'll tell you sort of what we've learned, but the basic thing that Margot's described is pretty amazing. That slide just tells you Los Angeles is big, and it's it's being on the Planning Commission. It's a front row seat to what's happening or what's not happening. So to see these kinds of smaller efforts that have such great potential, the idea of the Streets for People is a project that would actually happen 30 or 40 times a year. And being community initiated, it would have funding in the thousands of dollars rather than the hundreds of thousands, which really allows them to happen. I like both parts of that program. The idea of transforming Los Angeles's streets, 60% of our 468 miles are dedicated to streets and parking. And that's just an awesome amount, both in terms of problematics with heat sinks, the lack of vegetation, also the inability to really use our streets as pedestrian ways. So for me, on the Planning Commission, I really saw this as a game changer, a way to really look at how to engage with others in a larger way to change the way that Angelenos use our streets. The other thing was collaboration, and Margot described a little bit how we learned from New York. They're so smart in New York. And so we went back there, and they had already figured this out, right down to the contracts. And we basically just stole all we could from them, brought it back to Los Angeles, and we continue to do that. The other thing I'll mention is their active guidelines, which are, as an architect, they're just fantastic. It's how to design buildings for health. The other thing I'll mention, which might be of interest to you folks, is that this is sort of cutting-edge stuff that when I talk to planners in our department, they don't really get the connection between health and planning all the time. When I talk to architects, they don't necessarily get it either. So this is a very new thing that's starting to happen, but the promise is really, really substantial. The collaborative features are a big deal. How to sort of really institutionalize the idea of health and planning. How do we really make sure that this is not a one-off thing? And that's what's been so fantastic about this program, is we've created, I think, the framework and the processes to keep it and to make it happen for years into the future in a way that's actually changed our departments. Because it's not just planning working with the Department of Public Health, it's planning working with the Department of Transportation. And if any of you have ever worked with the Department of Transportation, you would know it's not easy. But the idea of changing that attitude from both sides is a huge thing. One of the other things I'll mention, from my perspective, we have something in planning called a general plan framework. This is a vision for the city. And in that general plan framework, we have 7 or 8 chapters or elements. They include things like health, housing, transportation. We're going to introduce, I think we're the first large city in the country to do this, a health element to that general plan framework. What that does is that institutionalizes the idea of health. Every time we do a plan, every time we do a project, we have to consider health issues around those projects and plans. I guess I would say one of the things that, I'll give you a quick example. About a year and a half ago, in collaboration with the Department of Public Health, we initiated a moratorium on fast food in South Los Angeles. And this was something that we did working with health, but also the community. It was something that everybody wanted. We didn't have a nexus to make that policy happen. So we ended up doing that policy as an urban design strategy, that you couldn't do a burger place, you know, within 300 feet of another burger place. What we wanted to do that really through a policy nexus around health, and that's what this the general plan framework health element will allow us to do. So to those who are not used to this, but someone who's on the Planning Commission, I can't do this without that. And so this is a big deal that we're moving in that direction. Then you start to really see policy crafted around health, which all of a sudden, imagine our streets being changed. So now a car city like Los Angeles becomes a city that's not just about cars, but for those of us who would like to ride bikes, we should have that option. And that's what this is trying to do. It's trying to balance that, you know, 60% of our area into something that will really change the way we live. The other thing, too, is that you really do want to get into ordinances and, let's see, we talked about the vision, the general plan, the Streets for People is an example of policy. And then Margot did mention, and I'll just say this quickly because this is a big deal, Los Angeles is transitioning, and I'm sure your cities are too. We have 74 train stations that have been recently completed, and we're going to build another 70 within the next 10 to 20 years. That means 140 train stations in the city of Los Angeles. What an opportunity. If we don't build these around ideas of health, we've kind of missed the boat. So this will give us, you know, some exciting opportunities, but I think the ability of Streets for People is the first test, and we can come back in a year and tell you how many more we've built. So thank you all very much for having us here.